What I'd like to do for you today, this is unusual for me. I don't use any kind of PowerPoint or anything like that. And the reason why is when I worked with the college football team, the head coach, when I said, hey, I'll show up and I'll have a PowerPoint together for the team. I was just supposed to do some time management stuff. He goes, hey, Mike, listen, only professors that can't communicate, they're the ones that use PowerPoint. They just flip slides. He goes, you're a preacher, man. Just let them have it, you know? So I'm not lying. I'm not big on PowerPoint. I just don't usually do it. I think there's a time for it, and I don't think it's wrong because I think some people do it well. I'm just not one of those guys, I don't think. But anyways, what I want to do is I want to do a little bit of recap from next week, from last week. If you remember last week, we started this basically, since I'm done and getting ready to head into this other series, I wanted to preach the mission of the church. Guys, we've had several different ways we'll explain this through the years, but here. But last week, I thought it would be good to be reminded of the vision of our church. We do have a vision, and it's this. First of all, we want people to believe in Jesus Christ. That's the main thing. We want to do evangelism to see people get saved. And then after they believe, they got to belong somewhere. That's where the local church comes into play. People need to grow and mature and be discipled. The way they get their milk is from the heart of another member, just like a mama and her babies. And then they need to become. Before you do for God, you got to be for God. You become like Jesus. And you grow and mature. And once you become like Christ, you mature to the spot where you begin to build. You actually begin to work for God. And you actually become a real difference maker in this world. So let me break it up, just a little bit of review from last week. Last week we talked about people need to believe, right? Without the gospel, man, I'm telling you, that's the only good news people will ever get. Romans 1:16 said the gospel, it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that what? Believeth. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, if you read that, and I'm going fast because I'm kind of reviewing, but that's the gospel, man. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I'll preach this thing, but you need to receive it. You got to believe it. You need to receive it. Mark 1:15, Jesus starts his public ministry by saying, hey, you need to repent and believe. Like he comes right out of the gate saying, repent and you better believe. And then John 1:12, we love that verse because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And guys, we just had a deal happen a week ago, in our world where when we're talking about salvation, salvation can vary from denomination to denomination. We take the Bible's clear stance on it. Salvation is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. The only thing you got to do is receive his work. Like, we don't believe salvation's a due endeavor. It's a done endeavor. Jesus Christ did all the work. He died, buried, and resurrected. And there's several churches in our town that are teaching that, well, you need to receive Jesus Christ, but you also need to be baptized. You'll find that in Scripture, and you can take it out of context to make it fit. But I'm here to tell you, after Jesus resurrects, after the Jews give their final rejection, you don't find that message. If you get in the Pauline epistles, he don't preach, believe, and be baptized. He preaches, believe, and receive Jesus Christ. Right? It's that name that brings salvation. So let's be careful not to mix those things up. So this is exactly, I don't know why this ain't working. And this is why I don't do PowerPoint. Because it distracts. But we believe this. We believe that salvation comes by putting your faith in Jesus Christ, right? So believe. The next thing we talked about is the mission of our church is people need to belong. Guys, I hope after today and even after next week you go, hey, this is pretty simple. It is very simple. This is not complicated at all. We complicate it with our messy lives. We complicate it by not just getting on the rails. I'm not lying. So let's talk about belonging. After the Apostle Paul was saved, they connected him right with disciples. They knew that this was going to be important. 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. How does babies get their milk? And today's kind of deceptive because you can go to Walmart and go buy some Similac, mix that stuff up. But the way it's done is really right here. The heart. A mom's able to produce that, and I know not everybody can do that, but that's the natural way to get that done. So I just want to let you know it's important when somebody believes that they have somebody they can belong with, and we try to take new believers and scoop them right up because they're very vulnerable then, you know. They're like a baby deer, you know, and that's why God's made deer, white-tailed deer, in a neat way, because you'll take a baby deer, and you know when they're born, they don't put off a scent like a lot of other animals. So if they can just stay still, that's why a mom will nudge their little ones down. And there's times they'll say, lay in the grass, stay still. Their life depends on their obedience, you know. Like, you're going to get eaten pretty quick here because you're so young and vulnerable, you know. And so I love that we have a church where people can say, hey, follow me. We're going to take care of you here, right? And so 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 even talks about everybody that becomes a child of God needs a nurse and a father to grow. A nursing mom. You need that. And this is where churches mess up a lot. And guys, we're so independent in our world today. This is why we're so jacked up. We don't have fathers in homes. The home's so messed up that people don't get it. So they come into the church, they'll come into church and not know nothing about the Bible and say, you telling me what to do? Well, I kind of am. I'm telling you what the Bible says. People don't like that. You know, it's terrible. There's no real accountability like that anymore. And that's why people's spiritual lives are in the toilet and everybody just believes what they want to believe, you know. So we're the body of Christ. So technically, if you believe, you belong to a body. If you don't figure out your part and how that thing works, you're not going to be healthy, right? You'll be messed up. That's why a lot of people are just messed up. And so Hebrews clearly says, make sure that you assemble yourselves together, man. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's all about us together coming to church. You cannot be a growing, healthy Christian if you're not belonging to a good local church. You can be saved. And I'm not saying you can't grow a little bit, but you'll be dysfunctional. Now, the Bible makes it pretty clear. If you give a man or a woman a Bible and just put them on a desert island, maybe they receive Jesus Christ. Well, here's a Bible. Figure it out. They're going to come out a heretic every time. And so it's our job, the Bible says. It's our job to teach His Word, to make sure that the little ones grow up and they're healthy, right? Believe, belong, and then become. It's time for us. The key for all this whole thing is let's look at some of these scriptures. Old things in our life have to pass away and all things become new. This is the part about Christianity that freaks people out. But there's got to be change. Old things have got to pass away and all things become new. This is how we grow. This is how we mature. I've known people that get saved and never touch alcohol again. I've watched other men, women get saved and they struggle with drinking too much alcohol all the time. I've seen it. And so, but they want to become like Christ. This is where we as a church hang with them. If they got a place they belong, that means you're accountable. You're accountable. And I love it. You know, sometimes I'll address somebody and say, hey, dude, I haven't seen you in church in 3 weeks. Yeah, you don't know what we've had going on. And they start raising their voice and they get angry. And I'm just like, hey, guys, if I put my Bible down right now and just want to deal with you on a psychological level, why are you so angry right now? Well, because you're in my face, you're judging me. No, I'm reading the book that you are writing. You wrote the book. Have you been to church in 3 weeks? No. So I brought up a fact. And I'm just saying, I want you to be healthy. I want you to spiritually grow. And you know how it is. When you get angry, you know, he who angers you controls you. Usually when I get angry, when one of you say something to me and I get angry, I'm like, you know, and I think the same thing everybody else. Who do you think you are? You know, usually I go back. I got something to deal with. Usually there's something that's not sitting well with me. And I would say most of the time when you get angry like that, you know, there's a problem. But all things can become new. That's how it's supposed to work as a Christian. It's a process. God's patient with us. The church should be patient with you. We're supposed to put on a new man. We've got to grow. See, God loves you so much when He saved and gave His life for you, but God loves you so much and He loves you the way you are. He loves you so much, He's not going to leave you there. He wants you to move on. He wants you to grow. So just want to encourage you with that. Don't be intimidated by the church. Because we're all sinners, saved by grace. There's somebody in this room that has a similar struggle as you. You can bring that. You can bring that to church prayer. You can bring that and say, I got a problem here. I'm struggling here. And the church will get behind and say, yeah, that's right. We all need to become like Christ. And we're striving to be that, right? This is who we are. Romans 8:29, it's predestination. The predestination here, and everybody likes to say, oh yeah, you're predestined to be saved. It says here you're predestined once you're saved to be like Jesus. That's real predestination. You're predestined. And by the way, you can fight it. If you want to be a drug addict, if you want to have bad relationships, if you want to be whatever your whole life, you can be and still be a Christian. And the day you die, guess what? No flesh, brand new body, you're like Christ. Goal accomplished. It's just sad that you missed out on planet Earth. He wants you to conform to his image today. All of us. Now, right? Matthew 4:19, that's why he says, hey, follow me. Jesus said that. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. I like this. So once you believe in Christ, you belong to a good group of people. The next thing on the agenda is you become like Christ. This is where kind of discipleship fits in. And so, and then we follow Jesus Christ, right? We follow in his footsteps. So become. This is where we grow. This is discipleship. Let's go. Believe, belong. We talk about becoming. And then the last thing we do is then we can build. A lot of churches, matter of fact, I heard two testimonies this week. Two testimonies of people that said they're struggling with their church. And one lady said she wants to find a new church. Well, why? Because every time I walk into my church, they're always hurting. They're just like, we need you in the Sunday school. Hey, a lot of us do that, right? We give ourselves on Sunday mornings. But there's times we need to be in here. There's times you just burn out. You know, you just need to get fed. I get it. There's other times you come and you come to minister, and I'm thankful for that. So this is where we believe that you got to become. Be like Jesus before you do for Jesus. We value character and you being more like Christ than doing something. You know, then I don't even care if it's running a vacuum cleaner. But if you won't become who God wants you to be, if you won't be discipled, here, listen to this. We won't even let you teach Sunday school. Because we want you to be like Jesus. Your heart and your health is more important. I don't want you to go over there and all of a sudden, before you know it, we've literally removed people from teaching Sunday school because, man, every time you show up to church, you're teaching. Church ain't about that. We care more about you. Them kids got parents over there. That's the main responsibility is on mom and dad. We'd rather you be in here and grow. Seriously. We care more for your spiritual health. We want you to become, and therefore, you can build. And we talked about building last week, ministry. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works don't save you. But once you get saved, you're created in Christ Jesus. See, become like Jesus, then the good works take place, right? Ephesians 4:11-12, we're supposed to perfect mature saints for what? The work. There's work to be done. There's ministry. But you get saved first, then you plug into a church, then you grow and become like Jesus, and then you can build. Then you find your purpose, your gifts that God has specifically given you, and you play your part to do the ministry. It's really that simple. It's not very difficult. 2 Corinthians 5, I just love it because all of us have been given the word and the work, the ministry of reconciliation. All of us are part of that when we go out in the streets and in the gas station, your coworkers, your neighbors, your family. We all are supposed to be ministers, right? And then we also know the mission of the church is to see people saved and grow. Then we get behind that process, whatever it takes. So I want you to know that some of you, we love you. We love you to be discipled because we need you to invest in other people. We want that. That's what we want. We want all of us to invest in other people, that we know the word enough, that we know Jesus Christ enough, that God can use you and me. He can use you and me to do some building, to do some kingdom work, to bring some real value, to change this city, this county, to change our state. Guys, I don't know why. I've had a burden for Chicago for a while. I see it in the news all the time. It's an awful place, still verging on the third largest city of the United States. there's, I forget how many gunshots go off every weekend in Chicago. It's like 100 and some. It's not uncommon to have anywhere from 10 to 25 deaths because of shooting up there. It's a bad place, man. There's some awful neighborhoods, and I'm just like, man, where are churches? Somebody needs to be given the good news of Jesus Christ out, because the hearts of men and women need changed. That's the problem. You'll even find out some of the wickedness that happens around here is even from there. Because we get that prison right up the road, and people are like, well, if I want to see my dad, if I want to see, I got to come down here. And they'll come live in this area, and you'll find a lot of that activity. I'm just like, my gosh, church, we got work to do, man. Don't we? We got some serious work to do. So believe, belong, become, build. Everybody repeat after me. Believe. Belong. Become. And build. That's exactly how it works. And check this out. Believe is like, another way to say it is, you gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Ooh, gotta have faith, baby. Done. If you belong, you need a family. Once you get faith, you gotta have a family. Then you become means you're gonna follow. You'll follow a person that's following Christ. That's how Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And then eventually what we do is, you get them, it's just like raising children. Now, you know, I like Sundays because Sunday sometimes the only day I get to see my oldest daughter. Because you know what? She's grown up. She's got a job. She's got her own house. And there's some sadness to it, but there's also some health to it. We got her on her own 2 feet, right? That's how that, and we want to do the same thing as a church. We disciple people. And so you follow in the footsteps, you got an example, and it'll get to the point one day where guess what? You've grown up to the point where you can disciple somebody else. It's a beautiful process. And then build, you'll see that it's a future. There's several ways to say this, and we like to say it that way. And so believe, belong, become, and build, right? So believe, that means somebody gets the good news. That's the gospel. If you got the good news, then all of a sudden good news to belong means then you need good people to be around so that you can grow. And then once you become, then there's not needs to be good growth in your life. Some real spiritual maturity. And then you can build, you can have a good life. You can find out what matters most and you can live for that. You can change the world. We can, guys, I don't know if you realize this, but we've planted one church in London, England. We're planting a second one. Now we're doing it through Brian Clark, but that's big business. The Bible's being translated over in Papua New Guinea. Why? Well, there was a college student that came here and he got discipled here, dealt with the sin issues, and he really started to mature. We're in Papua New Guinea writing a Bible for a group of people that don't have the Bible. I love that. I want to be a part of a group of people that does stuff like that, don't you? We're in Zambia right now through Alex Chippy, planting a church there. He's going after it. And every time I see him, I'm like, he's one of us. He's one of us. That's, we see Pradeep, what he's doing all for the Lord. I'm like, Lord, praise the Lord that we know this guy. And we're going to play our part in seeing him do that. That's a work that God's allowed us to be a part of. And some of you, I want you to know something. All these people are just common people. So sitting in here might be our next missionary. It takes a lunatic to move clear across the world and to another culture that you don't know and like minister the gospel. It's like, don't that take somebody crazy? It sure does. And I think we're crazy enough to do it. I'm not lying. There is nobody tougher that I've met than the Maple City Baptist Church. The one thing I can say about this church is you're tough as heaven, man. I'm not lying. I've seen this church go through the valleys, man. I've seen us, I mean, we've been beat up. We've been broken down. You know, and all of a sudden they pan the camera over, and when the camera pans back, we're on our feet again. That song, God's Not Dead, we sang that song 12 years ago. Haven't sang it for years. Wait till next week, Baptism Sunday. We're coming out with a couple that you're going to be like, I forgot about that song. And we're going to shout it from the rooftop. And all the people that was once here and the people that are here and gone, guess what? We're going to continue on. That's one thing I want to say about you, church. I've always loved this church. Years ago, we quit doing Sunday school because we had no men over there. We had three ladies teaching all these classes. They were burnt out. We said, no more Sunday schools. We did it for a year. If your baby was pooping her pants, they could go over there. Other than that, no classes for kids. They sat right in here. And guess what? A year later, we said, hey, anybody want to teach Sunday school and get on a rotation schedule? You only have to do it probably every 6 weeks. We've lost some people since then, so we're probably down to now 3 or 4 weeks. But I'll tell you right now, we had families doing it. We had men. I was like, I want men over there, not just women. Why do we put that on the women? Right? That's not fair in our society that seems to rule out men, or men don't want to be involved. I love when couples go over there. I love when I see men in that building. I love it. Because we've got babies and people that walk over there, and they need men. And especially right now, Sarah keeps getting up and down going over there because, you know, her two wild ones, you know what they need? They need a lot of love, need a lot of discipline. And you know what they need? They need a cowboy to wrangle them over there. I love when I see men over there helping out, dealing. It's rough. It's a rough situation, guys. Let's make a difference there, right? That's how we're going to do it. But I just want to tell you something. Hey, all we've been through, we could go in history, and I don't want to get too ugly about this, but even, you know, what we went through with this couple, you know, and we stood with them through all that, and that court case, it looked so ugly, like they did, like he did something awful, and we thought, well, we know he's blameless unless something comes out. And you know what we did? People started dropping like flies because it was embarrassing. People, I literally was over at Starbucks in Galesburg, and I had a lady come over to me. Oh, Bo was with me, so I wasn't totally alone. Me and a lady walked right up and just says, and you guys, you know what you have in your church? You have a criminal in your church. She started saying, man, me and Bo stood up in Starbucks. I was just like, hey, I'm not for punching women. But I would throw a hot cup of coffee on one in an instant second talking to me this way. This is terrible. This is terrible. Why are you accusing us of this? Because it's not true. And by the way, I'm still standing. We're still here as a church. We're still plugging away. We're still up here singing music for Jesus. Right? The punches came. We got knocked over and we stood back up. And the truth got revealed. And there's a bunch of people that are sitting out there. And by the way, that particular lady, she's crazy. Her life ain't good right now. Ain't that funny? You look at people and they leave and say, this church is messed up. I see them 3 years later and they're walking around town. I'm just like, man, what's wrong with you? Yeah, I just talked with one last week. And you know what the guy told me? He said, this has not been a good year for us. And they don't have a group of people when things ain't going well that they belong to. It's sad. I'm just like, yeah, I've been there before where things haven't been good for me. But I got a group of people that intercede and lift me up. What do? You better get yourself a dog and a cat because that's the best you're going to do. And cats are good. You notice cats? They're awful independent. Somebody in the house cries, cats tend to want to come up there. Jump right up on your lap and be like, what's wrong here? You know, there's something about them. They sense that, you know. Then you can get some good counsel from them. That's what I did to my cat. I'm not lying. I was like, dude, I don't know what to do. You need to help me out here. I'm in trouble. And you know what my cat said to me? The same thing your cat said to you. Meow. I don't know what's going on. Do you guys remember this? We did the bases. It was a baseball diamond. So to get to first base, we always said M1, M2, M3, and then home. In baseball, you get no points till somebody gets home. You can have the bases loaded all you want, and then if there's three outs, start again. First base, people meet Christ. Second base, people what? They become members of a church. You get a group of people that you belong to. And then third base was what? It was it was maturity, thank you. It was growth and maturity. You become like Christ. And then home is ministry and missions. Whether it's local or abroad, we do missions. This is what we used to do. We used to put that baseball diamond out all the time. So MCBC, the Maple City Baptist Church. It looks a little bit, we ended last week with this, so I'm telling you something. Review's almost over, the introduction, I'm getting right ahead. I got more time because we got two songs that we're probably not, I'm just kidding. thank you. I'm just kidding. I'm hurrying. Maple City Baptist Church, MCBC. M is for people to meet Jesus Christ. Church, there's nothing greater because that's where it starts. We need to be about evangelism. We're getting ready to start a ministry kind of geared for people going through recovery. And please don't think alcoholics and drug addicts. Why does everybody think that? Everybody thinks that. I mean, the worst addict in the world is probably fat people because it's socially acceptable. And yet the Bible says gluttony is just as drunkenness. You can't put down a Twinkie. There's all kinds of mental quirks that people have. And you know what they fall under? It's a hurt. It's a habit. It's a hang-up. Some of us have got past things that we've done. And you know what the devil keeps doing? He keeps bringing it back up. You living right now like it's in the past. What I love about the Lord is when we build for the kingdom, we're forging future. It's ahead. That's the F word, is the future. The enemy likes to work us from behind. That's what I love about it. He'll change you, man. He'll change you and give you victory. I just want you to know this recovery ministry is very, very broad. Matter of fact, if everybody shows up, I am actually going to ask everybody to show up for the first two weeks so you can get a taste of it, what's going to happen there. And I think some people are going to say, I think I need to stay. Yeah, me too. Me too, man. Because you'll find everybody's got hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Everybody does. And some of you, I know, seems to be more destructive. I get all that. But we want people to meet Jesus Christ, and then we want to connect them with the church. We want them to say, this is a group of people where you can belong. And listen, independent living, I'll tell you where it's going to get you. You ready for this one? This is deep. I learned this in kindergarten. It's going to get you loneliness. You're just going to be all by yourself. We want to connect people with it, especially when you're struggling, man. And sometimes when you're struggling, I need a leash. I'm not lying. I need a spanking sometimes as a grown man. Other times I just need love and encouragement. We're people, ain't we? The B would be to become a disciple of Christ. You're going to follow Christ. Quit being a fan of Jesus. Get busy with this thing. You know why people don't like discipleship? Because you kind of let somebody on the end. I read those stats last week, and all these behaviors, all these psychology, counseling, mental health counselors, all these people that deal with, like, that since the 1950s, they've exploded. It's a huge population now of people that offer life coaching and skills, and just anybody that's struggling, psychology, psychiatry, all of this type of stuff. Everybody seems to need a counselor. Well, it's funny because the church offers that. They say the majority of things that people need health with are not really mental illness issues. You know, we've all met people that are crazy, and you're like, I think he might be genuinely nuts. You know, I got news for you. There was a guy that was genuinely nuts. He was completely crazy. He met Jesus. Jesus talked with him, and the man believed, and everybody said they couldn't believe it because Crazy Al was sitting at the fire in his right mind. Ain't that crazy? It is crazy. And who's crazy in the room? I don't know what your definition is, but the Bible starts off in the book of Romans and says, everybody. Everybody's got some crazy in them. It's not perfect. That's why he gives us a book to renew our minds. See, once you believe, you belong to a church, a bunch of other crazy people that say, hey, we know how to stabilize this thing. We know what Jesus, and all of a sudden you become like Christ, and before you know it, you're building not only your own spiritual life, you're building other people. And then we're taking this church, four churches just here recently. When I say recently, probably in the last year, in this area, I can throw a rock and hit all of them. Five. I forgot about this one, two blocks down here. But they just open up when they want to. They just do it once a month. Sometimes they go in there and have a potluck. Wish they'd tell me when I'd go to that dinner. Five churches that no pastor. What's going on here? No direction, no group of people to belong to. Well, it's sad. They're broken. After you become a disciple, you end up committing yourself. You commit yourself to the ministry. Now, I want to show you something here, and this is all new stuff. Now, I'm going to give you new stuff. There's a list of things here on the side, and I did it this way for a reason. So guys, watch this. This is simple steps that our church believe in. It's just this simple, if you want to remember it. And we use, there's scriptures, a couple of scriptures that have both, like all of it in one, but it don't word it this way. I'm just trying to make it something where we can remember it. And so we believe people need to believe in Jesus Christ and get saved, right? It's true, correct? This is how it all starts off. That's why our church does evangelism. We do evangelism so that people will believe. Evangelism is we proclaim the good news. We tell people. And guys, listen to me. I've never wanted to be one of those churches that go into neighborhoods and go door to door. Because I don't like when people knock on my door. I had a guy trying to put a dang solar panel on my house the other day. Knocked on my door, wanted to put solar panels. I said, I don't want solar panels up there. He goes, I'm telling you, we can keep your electric bill the same for the next 20 years. I said, you're going to tell me that solar panel's going to last 20 years? He goes, well, yeah, we think it is, and it's got some warranty on it. It only costs you this much. You can rent it. I said, well, if you want it, then, well, I mean, why don't you pay for it, you know? Like, it didn't make any sense to me. And, like, I'm going to get all this energy pulled from the solar panels, and I'm buying back, like, 10% of it from you. Why don't we just make a deal? Give me free power, and I'll let you take anything off the top. That just makes sense. I'm a businessman, just like you. And then finally, I couldn't shake the guy. And it reminded people, churches, to go door to door. You know, I finally told him. I said, okay, let me give you the real reason why. Them things are ugly, man. You're ugly in everything. These beautiful farm fields you're driving by. It used to be, man, look at them cattle out there. Ain't they? Look at that corn sitting up there. Then they'd be combining down the field. And I look about, look at them beautiful solar panels. I just want to run a combine down through them. Evangelism so people can get saved. Then once people get saved, the Bible says there's an act of obedience. Once you're already saved and know Jesus, you should be baptized. I want you to know practical things to move through these steps. First of all, you got to believe. You got to be, somebody's got to share the gospel with you. Then the next thing you know, you need to be baptized. Because you know what? You accept Jesus on the inside, you show it on the outside. That's how you identify not just with Jesus, but with this church. You say, I'm going to get baptized to show everybody. He took my sins, he buried them, then I came back to life. And I'm going to walk in a newness of life, right? Then, once you belong, you got to attend church. Guys, if you want to lose some weight or get healthy and you go on this diet, and then sometimes people say, I'm just going to have one cheat day a week. I've done that before. That makes sense. Depends on what diet you're doing. So it might shatter some diets. I don't know. I get it. Whatever you're saying there, I get it. And I've probably done it if it had something to do with a diet. But it's not like you're going to say, I will eat whatever the heck I want to. But I'll tell you what. On Mondays, I'm going to eat nothing but salad. I'm going to eat healthy on Mondays. How's that going to work out for you? You can't eat chocolate chip cookies for all your meals. And then eat a salad on Monday and expect it to happen. But people do that frequently. Listen, I'm here to tell you something. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3 that we should be faithful in all things. And I am going to talk to you about this and some of the. And honestly, this is probably only going to offend you if your church attendance is not good. You're just going to get out of it what you put into it. That's all I want to say to you. Hey, guys, and there's good reasons to miss church. I know people that miss churches for reasons. I'm like, well, you know, it's who can be the judge of that? People don't know your heart. I totally get it. But I just want to tell you, this has a direct influence of where you're at. I've never seen anybody that says, church is an option for me. If any other thing comes in its place, I'll do any other thing. You'll never see people with that kind of attitude do very well and build for the kingdom. They're usually not a difference maker. They usually end up being our neediest people. They're needy. It's so funny. Right after we'll do a marriage retreat, a couple say, hey, man, can we come in and talk to you? Man, we're having some trouble. Hey, no problem. And they come in, and I just say, you know what's crazy to me? We just dealt with this at our marriage retreat. You could have saved yourselves 3 months of hell by just coming. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you. That's how it works. The church sets that up this way. That you're supposed to be able to follow in somebody else's footsteps and be the example for you. The Bible says, younger women follow in the steps of the older ladies. That's missing in our culture today because families are so messed up. But we need that. We need examples in front of us. And that's why one of our godly ladies spoke Friday night. And my wife came home and said it was so emotional. She said, my gosh, it was touching, Mike. And Trisha, I heard you knocked out of the park and did an incredible job and great at it. And I just thought, and guess what? Younger women in the room, younger spiritually, you should be there. You got to learn from that girl because she's been there and done that. And has she done it perfectly? Probably not. That was probably part of her testimony. But it's right. She was following Jesus through that thing and learn. That's how we learn. My gosh, it can save you years. You know, my brother got into a lot of trouble. And well, I did too. But I learned from him. Like, I learned what was, like, I met Jesus Christ, and that changed everything for me. But, like, my brother would get in trouble, and I'd be like, I'm never going to do that. You know, next thing you know, my mom's got me at juvenile court, and I was just like, man, I said I would never do this. And then I was there again a month later, got into another bit of trouble, and I remember my mom crying. I was like, my gosh, man, my brother kills her all the time. I don't want to destroy my mom here, you know. And it did help me. And I'll tell you what, it helps if you're wise to have somebody in front of you that's been there and done that. Learn from them. You can learn from them and say, I'm not doing that. Don't do that. You can't go to the same places, you know. You can be truly different. But church attendance is that way. You come. That's why being a part of a Bible study or being in a ministry, it's just kind of like, well, my church is my college ministry. Hey, that's fine and dandy, but when you get a bunch of 19-year-olds around, you know what that means? You got all the answers in the world. Right? You know everything, right? That's what happens. And the college teaches you that too. You start thinking, and then you're, you know, you need a grandpa. You need to see kids. It's a family. It's well-rounded. You see? That's how that thing should work. But check this out. Then you become. We got discipleship one here. 16 lessons where you could be discipled, and somebody will meet with you one-on-one, and it's easy. And it's, hey, it's at your own pace. Don't be intimidated by this. I've had a ton of people just say, man, you don't understand, man. I'm not a reader. Well, to be a Christian and growing, you're going to have to become a reader. You don't have to be a great reader. You don't have to be an orator. But you're going to get better at it. I've had people pick up the Bible, especially the King James Bible. They're like, oh my gosh, this thing is so hard to read. Well, it's really, really hard to read because you're not a reader. And so just take chunks at a time. You'll get it. We love its accuracy is why we use it. You'll get it. And it's amazing if somebody will commit to reading a chapter a day, a month later, they're like, it has gotten easier. Yeah, it does, right? That's why I always say when you smoke your first cigarette, who likes that? That thing tastes terrible. Keep at it. Eventually it'll break you in, you know. Very rarely do you get somebody that drinks their first beer and goes, isn't this incredible? Kids that do that are just showing off. That's all they're doing. Yeah, they're just showing off. It's an acquired taste. Yeah, but if you keep at it, it's like coffee, right? Is coffee great? No, it's nasty and it's bitter. It's not the caffeine that keeps you awake. It's the dirt in your tongue. It's nasty. And I like coffee, but I didn't like it at first. You could tell because it was cream and sugar, cream and sugar. Cream and sugar does what? It makes the medicine go down. And then eventually I got to the spot where I was able to drink the coffee. I'm here to tell you something, gang. Just like coffee, just like beer, just like cigarettes, all these nasty things out there. Sometimes people start reading the Bible and like, man, this is hard. Keep at it, man. Keep at it. You'll adapt a flavor for a taste for it. And you'll wake up and say, Jesus, I need to hear from you, you know. And you'll get it. You'll get it. I promise you. You know something else we don't hardly ever talk about around here? But this is something, this is the list of practical things you do as you grow. You learn to give. Because did you know, the thing about people that live fleshly or selfish or people that have addictions, as a whole, they tend to be very, very selfish. They take. They go to the same places in town to take any food they can give, any distribution, any clothes handout. Anybody will take. They're takers. So what we do is when somebody gets saved, they begin to grow. They belong to, they believe they belong. Then they become like Jesus Christ. They start learning to give. They give it their time. That's what they do. Then they have some talents and are like, hey, man, I can sweep this up. Man, thank you. I appreciate that. They do that. They pick up chairs. See, they just start giving. Instead of just coming in and expect everything to be taken, they come and eat eggs and cookies over here at the coffee bar. And then all of a sudden, they're here not too long, and they're just like, hey, I don't know who makes stuff like this, but I'd be glad to bake something now. And then I'm like, yes! Yes! I don't care if you're going to Dollar General and buying some stale sugar bread cookies. You're giving. It's important. Our money, our finances. And you'll learn that in discipleship. And you learned it like, my gosh, all I do is keep taking, taking, taking. And all of a sudden you'll find yourself, I want to support that cause. I want to be a part of a church that does this kind of work. And then before you know it, you're given. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of your heart, you give God. Then all of a sudden you even get money. Like people get their income tax and you're just like, you know what? I'm giving God first. I'm giving him 10% of this. And people are like, are you crazy? No, I'm mature. That's what the Bible says that is. It's maturity. Giving is a huge step. You'll find that even when you deal with people, that if you can get people to turn around and they start giving instead of just always wanting to take, right? About this time, you'll learn your gifts, who you are spiritually, and you'll begin to serve in our church. This all happens when you become like Christ. It'll just come. And then before you know it, this whole section at the bottom, you're mature enough for it. We got D2 classes. That's just so you can learn your Bible. But you'll live for a purpose. You'll really become something. You'll be a difference maker on this planet. Guys, that's what we're supposed to produce as a church. This is what we're supposed to be about. I don't care to fill this building with people. Let's build another building and fill it with people. For what? We're just going to have more trouble. We're going to have more trash to have to buy more toilet paper. More toilets are going to get flushed. I just want to make sure when we're flushing our toilets, it's for a great cause. The people come in and we're seeing people what? Believe. They belong to a great church. They become what God wants them to be. They become like Jesus. And then they're building for the kingdom. And a good example that we've seen through the years, Mike, playing our bass over there, we've seen him come in. I met him when he didn't even believe in Jesus Christ. He got saved, and all of a sudden he started belonging to a church. He belonged to a church for a year plus, and he wasn't growing. Finally, he came to our church. We got him in discipleship, spent time with him. He started maturing, and Mike just started devouring the Word. So, and you know what he loved? The church he went to, they called each other brothers, but he was the wildest one of the bunch, one of the youngest ones. They didn't call him brother for a long, long time. He walked right in here. I found out he was a believer. I said, brother, welcome home. He's never looked back. He became like Jesus, and now he's building. Same thing with Terry. I love Terry's testimony, too, when he believed. He just fit right into our church and started growing, getting in discipleship. We used to meet every Monday afternoon and getting the Word, and it was tough. Like, it's hard. When you don't read the Bible, the Bible's different, you know. You read something you're interested in, I get it, you know. But once you start getting it, before you know, Terry, it wasn't long after. He played in the parade with us. Before you know it, he's in the church band, and now he's not only witnessing to people, he disciples men. He meets with people and disciples them. He can teach them what he knows. And he knows more than he thinks he knows. Don't let him fool you. This is it. Believe, belong, become, build. Repeat after me. Believe, belong, become, and then build. Guys, it's that simple. That's what our church is about. There's a lot of details to getting it done, but that's it. I want to share a verse of Scripture with you. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 through 3. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. So basically what he's saying is, man, guys, I couldn't be real spiritual with you guys because you're like babies. He says in verse 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there's among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? This is a rebuke that Paul brings to the table. And basically what he's saying is this. Guys, you're not growing. You're not growing like you should. And if you read 1 Corinthians, you would see that it's depressing reading it. You're like, man, that's heavy. Yeah, because there's something always wrong. But you got to get to chapter 1 and see where he says, I love you guys. I see God's grace in you. And then you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and you know what? They're a different group of people. They've grown. So I want you to know something about this church. One of the things I love about the Maple City Baptist Church, probably one of my favorite things, I'll be honest with you. You're resilient, man. We've been through it, man. I mean it. I love it. I love how tough this church is. I love it. And I would put you in front of any other church in this town, around the world. Just, you're tough. We've been through it. We've been down. We've been beat up. It's been ugly at times. We didn't know what we were doing. I remember having a meeting years ago when I was a young man, and I became the pastor, and we sat in a leadership room, and I just preached my guts out, and only a few of you would remember this. I stood in that room that night, and I cried. You know why I cried? I just said, guys, I don't know what to do. We got this broken little church. What do we do? I need help. Maybe I shouldn't pastor. It was just growing pains. People got around me, and Man, there was times there was sin in my life. I was safe in this room to be able to say, guys, I got a sin in my life. I need to bring this out because it's something I need help with. And I put it on the table. I was vulnerable. You know what everybody else in that room did? They started getting vulnerable. We started, man, and I'll tell you, we learned some things, didn't we, guys? We learned some things. This book is true. We're liars. We're a mess, but this book ain't. And if we're going to minister and reach people, we need to be vulnerable and have a place where people can come and believe. A place that's healthy enough if they belong, that then we can teach them to become like Jesus Christ. And then we can eventually have these people that they will be living their lives for a great cause. Guys, I have a whole section here that I want to share, and I'm going to hold off on it because it's long. It's five different points I wanted to show you. It's five different positions in the Bible, from a baby to a little child, young man, father, and elder, different spots in the New Testament. But let me tell you something. I want to share this. Until we get into Route 66, I want to encourage the church to say, we got a mission here, guys. Like, if we don't have a mission, what's the point? What would be the point? Like, here, we got a point. There's some Bibles they need. They need $65,000 worth of Bibles. They're going to make 60,000 Bibles. It's going to cost $65,000. We decided we want to cover 10% of it. Well, we had a little mission. Everybody seemed to get behind it, and so we're like, okay, let's do it. And do you remember that? When we all said, write on a piece of paper how much money you think we can raise. And this was, the average was $6,500. But I had to go to 66 so it matched our theme, Route 66. Everything's got to be 66, not 666. I don't play that. But Route 66 books in the Bible. See, we have a cause. Is there not a cause? And look at that money coming in. We're a little over a third of the way already. Praise the Lord. Now, and you know what I love about it? We do not directly benefit from this. It wasn't the mission we put together. We don't even support the missionary in Sierra Leone, West Africa. I love that. I love that we're going to give $6,600. We might end up giving $10,000 to a cause that's greater than ourselves. And it's not like, man, did you see what the Maple City Baptist Church did? No, it was $65,000. That was a lot of money. We just played a part in it. But see, we got a cause. We got a mission. And that's what would drive us. So I just want you to know this. And next week, I'm going to jump right back on this because I don't know where you're at in this process. Some of you believe in Jesus Christ. You're not even sure you're going to belong here. You're still taking the church out for a test ride. And we're not like a church that does the class and make you pay a few $100 and sign your name on a membership roll. It don't work like that. You know the people that we know who really belongs here? Because they start becoming like Christ and they get discipled. It's just that simple. And then they become like Jesus. And it takes a little time, some longer than others. But I just want you to know, the world, you know, when God does anything in the Bible like crazy, it's just amazing to me the people he chooses. Go through the whole list of the Bible. I'll put that list up here next week. I'll put it up on here. Because it's just amazing looking, and you're just like, man, that Moses, man, what a guy. Like the greatest prophet ever, right? Did you see how he got a start? Did you see his start? Mama had to give him up. Did you see that? He ends up in Pharaoh's house. He ends up kind of being rebellious, and then eventually he goes down in the stockyard. What's he do? He kills a dude. He murders and then runs for his life. The guy's a murderer. That's bad stuff. It's not like he stole a candy bar, right? It's not like he took a bag of chips from the Dollar General. It didn't happen. He straight up took a man's life. God comes to him in a burning bush some years later and just says, hey, I'm going to deliver the whole nation of Israel. And I want you to do it. God like chose this killer. That's the people God chooses. We're reading right now about Jacob and Esau, right? Hearing his Jacob story. Jacob's a rascal. Everybody knows he's a schemer and a rascal. Who's God going to start the greatest nation on the planet with? A rascal, man. That's right. He does it all the way through Scripture. He chooses like people that you would think, no way. You know what? People that just believe. people believe, and then they belong. They start becoming, and God says, my gosh, we're going to do something with you. So church, Maple City Baptist Church, this little church here in Western Illinois, here we are in the city of Monmouth. We've been high. We've been low. We keep standing back up. You know, you remind me of, there's a couple fighters in the UFC, man. And this church reminds me of just like, you know, you really don't want to fight us. You know, some of these fighters even lose a lot. One of them's right here in our own state. Clay Guida was his name. Clay Guida has hair down to here. He wrestled in high school and ended up being a good fighter. So he started fighting, and you know what? He loses a lot. His record's like half and half. Everybody loves to watch him fight. You know why? Because his cardio's through the roof. You'll be in round, if a championship fight goes five rounds, normal fight's three rounds, you'll be into round number three. And you know, at the end, when the judge is holding hands to raise the winner up, you know what he does? His hair's down. He looks like a zombie. He bleeds very easy from all the scar tissue. And you know what he does? Everybody that's watched Clay Guida fight, they know this. At the end of the fight, he's still moving them feet just like this. Hair slinging, blood's dropping, and everybody just, win or lose, everybody's like, woo! I see Clay Guida, I'm like, that's our church right there. That's the Maple City Baptist Church. We fight, and anybody that fights us knows that they're in for a fight. Because we're just dead serious. We take the Bible serious. People say that all the time. I had a pastor get a hold of me. He's not from this town. He got a hold of me and says, hey, I'm coming through the area. I heard you guys are good with the gospel, and I just appreciate everything you do for the gospel. He just said, so I'd love to just come take you out to eat and just see what you guys are doing. And what they were really doing is wanting to plant a church here in town. And like a shop vac, they weren't wanting to just suck up churches that were hurting and not doing very well. Okay, maybe that's a good business plan. I don't know. I wrote him back and I just said, that's funny, man, just because today we led two people to Christ in the county jail. So two people got saved in the county jail today. I said, yeah, thank you for saying it. And I said, and by the way, this is our town. So if you come for lunch, we buy. We'll take you to lunch. But I look forward to meeting you. You know what he said back? Nothing. He didn't want to lose lunch with us. That wasn't his motive. Seriously, he just thought we're hurting and out there just struggling and just looking for somebody to come. You know, like a lot of the other churches that are closing up and losing past. I get it. But when he heard it, man, yeah, we just led two people to Christ today, man. I hope when they get out, they'll get discipled and come to our church. Because we love these guys. We love this place. That's not what he wanted to hear. He wanted to hear, actually, that we were sick and we could use some help. And heck, who knows? We might have taken their help. I don't know. You know. There was a large church in Galesburg. Do you guys remember Northwoods in Galesburg? That's funny because they one time got a hold of me and my daughter was going through the cancer thing and they're like, hey man, is there anything our church can do? Can we do anything for your church? And I was like, man, that's a nice question. I was just like, 50K? Like, oh, you weren't talking about that. I don't know what you're talking about. Like, what do you want to do for a church? You want to clean it on Saturday before we have church on Sunday? Like, you know, what do you... Well, that's just a nice thing to say, you know. It's just the way ministries do it. So, hey, we'll hammer down. Maybe I shouldn't have done that. We'll hammer down next week. But listen, I want to say this before I leave. I love this church. I love what God's doing in our midst. I think we got some steps, man. We know the goals. We see it. You know where you fit in. I know where I fit in. And I heard a guy say this about, an old guy said this about pastors. And I said, man, I like it, and I'm going to tell our churches. My job today is I want to comfort the afflicted. For those of you that are hurting and your life ain't so good, I hope I bring God's word. I want to comfort the afflicted. And then the other side of that coin is I really want to be a pastor that afflicts the comfortable. I want to comfort the afflicted, and I want to afflict you that are just too comfortable. We got a mission to do, guys. We got a job. It's going to take all of us. Let's get busy. That's what we need to do. Let's get busy. And by the way, I think most of us are. That's why we got a good church. Most of you are. And I mean it when I say my favorite thing is about the resilience. I just wanted to say that. I love this church. We've been through a lot. We've made mistakes. We've learned from our mistakes. We've seen a group of people get saved here lately. Guys, there's churches that don't baptize people in a whole year. You know, next week, we got three. And we got to keep the baptism set up so that we can baptize the fourth when she's going to be out of town. Praise the Lord. You know what that means? People are getting the water saying, I will follow Christ. I'm going to follow the Lord. So that's exciting, isn't it? I'm really excited.